altruistic kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's saying in her sleep, brother's got a date to keep, you can't hang around.
Ayo's house in the middle of our street. Ayo's house.
Isle's House, episode 49, Ethan, Jack, Rocco, coming to you live on X and YouTube, mere minutes after a win over the Philadelphia Flyers. Before we get into it, we got to take care of the housekeeping. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN, where I was called today the worst Islanders fan on the website. I disagree. Top five, perhaps. Number one, I don't think so. Follow Rocco at Pizza Sports Guy. Follow Jack at Isle's Den. Follow the podcast at Isle's House. Subscribe wherever you get your favorite podcasts, most notably iTunes and Spotify. Go to YouTube, smash that subscribe button. Let's see if I can get the directions right. Here we go. Ready? If you're watching live right now, top right corner, that QR code, our store. I'm rocking the Casa hat. Jack and Rocco both rocking the Isle's House hats tonight. Rocco's also rocking the Isle's House sweatshirt. Kudos to Jack, who is both coming to terms with his baldness as well as taking marketing lessons. He is finally wearing the hat. Check out the bottom left. We are sponsored by the fine folks at Rust and Gold in Huntington. If you're looking for a great place to watch a game, great food, great drinks, check out Rust and Gold. And down below, patreon.com/Isle's House. We got some stuff going on in there right now. We got some insiders digging on some things, and let's just say Matthew Darche is not so sleepy tonight, and there may be more to come. So we are digging. All right, gentlemen. Jack, take us away.
So following up from last week, the Islanders played 60 minutes of scoring 0 5-on-5 goals, I believe, two games in a row, two pretty much terrible losses. The game in Seattle, end of the road trip, you know, you were hoping you come home on a high note, but it was just, they ran out of gas there. Ugly game, followed up by an even uglier game somehow, which I didn't even watch. And honestly, I got kind of lucky because I wouldn't have wanted to watch a third period that had Barzal, Duclair, and Lee bench the entire period. That was a questionable decision, just being down two goals. So didn't love that, but today, some noise that the Islanders are making an ad. Clearly gave the team some life, a 4-0 shutout win. Honorable mention to Max Siplikov hitting a CP3-type assist to cut into Ethan's Betts lead by, I want to say, 23 points now. So thank you, Siplikov. Maybe a little bit too late.
But Jack, you just got to chip away. Chip away, chip away. You know.
Yeah. That was a CP3-esque assist.
It was, yeah. Cuts the lead to 42. any other comments, Jack, on these games? I feel like your recaps are usually a bit more in-depth or passionate.
They are, but let's be real. That Seattle game was – it was one of those – like, I'm so grateful that they don't play the Kraken more than twice a year. What a disgusting hockey game. The Sabres game I didn't watch, so I don't have as much analysis there. I feel like – one takeaway I do have is the Magic seems to be running out for Riddick a little bit. So I would hope that Sorokin can get most of the workload before the Olympic break, and that rest will be huge for him. I hope Dave finds his game again, because you see when they're both firing, it gives them a much better chance.
And he just needs a few more sessions with Siana Rhodes, and he'll be back. It's a Billions reference for you uncultured swine out there. Okay, should we talk about the Soucy trade?
Yeah, let's go right into it.
All right. Sleepy Darche woke up, traded a third-round pick for Carson Soucy. The Islanders now are without their second and third-round pick. Jack, if you want to jog my memory, why is it that they don't have their second?
In 2023, the month was June at the NHL draft, our former general manager, Lou Lamoriello, really wanted to pay and extend Pierre Engvall, and he only had one way of doing it. He traded Josh Bailey and a second-round draft pick to the Chicago Blackhawks, turned around and extended Pierre Engvall to a $21 million contract.
And some others, to be fair. It wasn't just Engvall. Farley, Mayfield. It wasn't like a straight-up swap. I think Engvall and Farley were the Bailey money.
When you break it down, man, a lot of those contracts that offseason, it doesn't make me feel any better. Just a rough piece of work from Lou, and I think that might have been his worst week as the GM of the team. So that's why we don't have a second-round pick. Thank you, Ethan, for making me rehash that.
Yeah, of course. Anytime we can rehash a traumatic event for Jack, we'll do it. All right. Adding the card up so that we got some visuals as we talk through it. Barocco, give us your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, nothing to go crazy about. Personally, it sounds like a big complaint. I just, value-wise, I think a third-round pick is a little steep for this sort of player. It's not the end of the world game. I just don't think he's anything special at all. As you see, time on ice, mostly a third pair of guy. Talking to some Ranger fans, honestly, they have mostly to say, at least as far as this season. Some of them were laughing, but like I feel like more of the everyday watch every game type Ranger fans. You know what? He's not that bad. He's just a guy, right? Maybe a left-handed Mayfield-esque guy. It's not the end of the world. Certainly should add stability, but I don't know. Like, I just, where are we doing? Are we going to continue buying? Is this just a stopgap? It just raises more questions as we approach the deadline. And although it could help, I see it more as like the 2026 Bortuzzo, to be quite honest. It's just that sort of stopgap move.
Yeah, Bortuzzo was much cheaper.
I think we gave up a seventh or sixth for Bortuzzo. I don't recall.
Something like that.
It was definitely cheaper. Susie's probably a little bit better than Bortuzzo was then. I mean, Bortuzzo literally couldn't skate, but it is what it is. Get Susie in the fold. And I do think it's kind of funny that his first game as a New York Islander will be back to back against the New York Rangers right off the bat, right up against his former team. But I'm not jumping for joy with the ad. I'm just kind of whatever. It's not the end of the world, but I don't know. What do you boys think? I'm just sort of very meh on it.
Ethan, where do you stand?
It looked like you were about to talk, Jack. I don't know. I go back and forth. I think it's a steep price to pay for an expiring lefty, Scott Mayfield. Like, everyone is going to tend to look at this through their own rose-tinted goggles, right? Like, the same people now who are saying, it's only a third. Like, what's a third? Like, these are the same people that are masturbating to, like, the Neil Prokhorov highlights in September. So, I like, you know what I mean? Like, people this time of year will be like, oh, like, it's just a third. But, like, these are the type of prospects that those same people are going to be fawning over during prospect scrimmages. So, like, I don't know. You know, we talked about this ad nauseum about, you know, what's the soft buy gonna be, and I think that this is going to be such a bizarre market. I mean, we've been told even as early as today, this afternoon, there is only one team that the return for an Artemi Panarin is going to be good from. Like, that's an over point per game stud, hands down, like the best player that's going to be available on the market. And like, if the Rangers are even struggling to get a Brock Nelson return for a player of Artemi Panarin's stature, giving up a third for Susie just feels too expensive, and it also makes you nervous moving forward if the Islanders do decide to sell some of their expiring, what they're going to get. That's where my brain goes immediately.
But just on the thing, I really feel like Panarin's this year's Marchand, where he kind of is just going to pick his spot, go there, and the return's going to be underwhelming because the guy's picking his spot. I don't think they're going to get a Nelson-esque return, and I think most of that is because we kind of – like, Nelson's playing great for them. I'm not going to say we fleece them because it's working out great for them, but it's – in my mind, it's also working out great for us because we got an extra pick, we got a top prospect, and our timeline's different than the Avs. So it's sort of the rare trade where I could see working out for both parties. But I think Panarin's just going to be that – like – once the deals come on the table, I think Panarin's going to be the type of guy that literally handpicks his spot and says, that's the one. I'm going there, work it out with them, done. Because there's not going to be, first of all, there's not many teams that he's going to allow to even be on the table, correct? It's only going to be like four or five teams.
But still, like there's still competition. It's limited, right, but it should be enough to get a decent enough return.
You know what it is, honestly, as far as the buyers in this market? The really good teams over the last 3-4 years have kind of been the same teams. So these teams that are like dipping their hand back in and trying to buy more don't really have immediate picks. Like, I don't think the Stars have their pick. The Avalanche don't have their pick. So it becomes slim pickings. If he only wants to go to these couple teams that are top of the league and have gone for it the last 2 or 3 years, they just realistically don't have that much. It's just a numbers game, really. So I think a Panarin deal is kind of its own thing. And as far as the rest of the market, I think it'll really be dictated as we get a little bit closer. Though I do think we'll have some action before the break, Olympic break.
I think so too. Jack?
I'm a little bit conflicted because I wanted the Islanders to add. And I look at Soucy, and I'm going to be honest, I really like that Darche is kind of putting someone in a position on the blue line that is not going to be a total liability, and it shouldn't continue to be a revolving door. I hope that they take Boqvist out. The only thing I want to say, though, is like these defensemen that have passed through waivers, you sit there and you compare them to Carson Soucy, both financially and what you had to give up to get Soucy. Like Mike Riley walked out the door for nothing. You know, Zamula and Soucy, I honestly think Zamula is better than Soucy. This is like somebody tells you they got you dessert and they bring you carrot cake. Like, it's not that exciting of an ad player-wise, but the ideology behind it, I love it. A third is a little rich for Soucy, let's be honest. I would have preferred a fourth.
It is.
I would prefer a fifth. It's really an interesting eye for talent that Darche has, because I don't see it with Soucy. He's not an exciting player for me, but once again, I still like it because I like what it does to for the locker room. Like, I think it has an effect. I think tonight they were a little energized by like the news, by the surrounding of it, and coming off like a really bad loss at home. I like that instead of, you know, leaning towards, you know, this team's probably going to sell. Instead, they're going to add a piece and stop this revolving door. Because the other day when Isaiah George makes his NHL debut, to me, it's like, I don't want him playing with Adam Boqvist. And you saw tonight, like, he scored a goal. I'm not sure if Boqvist was on the ice for that shift, but there's potential there, and he needs to be playing with some veteran presence. So Soucy's an upgrade over Boqvist. Would I have paid a third? Probably not. I probably would have preferred one of those waivers, but feels like we got carrot cake, but I'll take it. I'll take it for the intangible reasons.
Yeah. I think too, a lot of people get like one of the lines people love to throw out when you trade a mid round pick or a late round pick is, oh, it's just a dart. It's just a dart. It's just a dart. I feel like the position the Islanders are in, you want to keep all your darts, right? Because eventually you want to hit on something. You want to hit that bullseye. Like we see with teams like Tampa Bay, Ethan, like we just picked him up in Dynasty, this kid Benjamin Rotinen or whatever his name is, fifth round pick. Guys like that, sometimes you hit on and they turn into a gem. Obviously, they're not all going to be that way. Obviously, if you have the opportunity to get the right players, you give up said picks. But I just personally, I'd be a little more careful on Soucy-esque additions as far as what you give up.
You see, like, the thing is we look at it as a dart throw, but the GMs don't. They have a different value for a third-round pick, and I feel like that's somewhat important. And to hand over a third for Soucy is interesting. Like, I do wonder if there's another trade where they try to recoup that, because it's a really interesting ad. And I'll be honest, like, it's not an important thing to say, something that's probably unnecessary. But if it was Lou who made this trade – And not Darche, the pitchforks would be out. Let's be honest.
Yes, but Lou.
I think that's actually a very important point.
Yeah, but Lou also traded basically every single one of his first round picks. To me now,
But Lou comes with a reputation, though, and I think people are much more willing to give Darche some leash that they wouldn't extend to other GMs.
Well, it's just a new – I don't think it's not other GMs. It's just that Darce is a new one, so we're trying to feel him out a little bit. We've said for the longest time, this deadline as a whole is a day for Darce. What he does with Peugeot, what he does with Lee, if he buys. Now he bought Susie. Will he buy more? Will he sell? There's just so many factors. And to me, I think we really just have to wait and see the final product of the deadline before we truly judge Darce.
Yeah, it's a big couple of weeks ahead for him here and the entire team, because I feel like these next several games give them a clear idea. Tonight was a really big win for them. They could have been tied in that last Metro spot. They actually could have fallen out of it. And suddenly you look up, they have a 4-point lead with the games played being even. The Devils lost yesterday. They have games in hand on all of those teams. So you have the Rangers coming up back to back and the Predators. Like, these are games that they need to win.
I actually think, I don't know, I didn't think the Islanders played particularly well. I'm curious what the deserve to win a meter says. I think the Flyers just looked like ass.
I think the first period, I didn't think they looked that great, and then they ended up getting the goal. But the periods that followed, I thought they were good. Like, they didn't give up too many.
And there it is, 67, 68, 69. The deserve to win a meter is fluctuating right now. Call it 69% to the Flyers.
Yeah, but
really,
only like you and your daughter care about that. So,
I thought they played a good game.
38-month-old is going to be livid. Hysterical in the morning.
They didn't play great today, but they obviously was much improved, and they were down a few guys as well. So, helps in a big game that you show up against Philly and just find a way to win. You're on the road, as Jack said. If they lost, I think they would have technically been out of a playoff spot tonight. So,
yeah,
it was huge, and now I think you have 4 points on the Flyers. And it does feel like if the Isles are going to make it, it's going to be one of those Metro slots, because the Atlantic is just on fire. You got teams like Buffalo. You got teams like the Panthers coming back up. So they do need to lock down one of those Metro spots. And the Penguins are getting hot as well. And you still have teams. Like, to me, everyone's worried about the Flyers because they're right behind. I'm personally worried about Washington, because I think that's a better roster and a team that's more built for a playoff run. That's the team I'm sort of watching and hoping we could build a bigger gap. Because that's the one, you know, they have Ovechkin, could be his last year, got other talent around him. The other squads, it's kind of like the Devils are so banged up. I just don't know if it's going to happen for them this year. Blue Jackets, not really. So I'm worried about Washington personally. But, yeah, the Metro is going to be tight till the end of the year.
Yeah, for me it's both of them, Washington and New Jersey, just because I feel like when you have players like Hughes, Bratt, like, you can just make a run at any point, but Markstrom just continues to kill them. Washington needs to get healthy. Like, right now they can't keep up with they have Ovechkin on the third line, Dubois's been hurt, Thompson's taken a little bit of a step back, their backup goalie's now unreliable. So I've been paying attention to these teams. Pittsburgh, though, I think that they're legit. Pretty crazy to say, but I'm buying it.
And I think Pitt would add too, because of Crosby, Malkin, those guys are winding down. If you want to go for it with them, you gotta add.
Yeah, and their top nine, they have found like a really, really good fit with their young players, with obviously the veterans. It's honestly been pretty crazy to watch.
And what? And
Tristan Jarry.
Well, Skinner.
That's what I'm saying, that trade.
Yeah.
Skinner is like 8-1 with like some crazy goals against average.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been sick recently, so it's hard dismay.
I think it's an insanity run, though. I don't think he's going to be.
Yeah, of course. Like, but this is who he is. Like, the highs are high and the lows are low. Yeah.
But you know what? Guess what? If this 8-1-1 leads Pitt into a playoff spot, it's worth it, right?
Of course.
Jarry wasn't doing it. Jarry wasn't leading them anywhere. So if this one hot streak propels them, why not?
Like a very rare win-win for both teams. Like, both goalies have actually been very good.
And honestly, we've hated on him so much on this pod, but this one particular offseason and into the season as well, it does seem like Dubas has done a pretty solid job. You got to give him a little bit of credit. We always, he lucked into it. Maybe he lucked into it, but you do have Crosby. You do have one of the best players of all time on your team. That helps.
Words that won't leave my mouth. I'll leave that to you too.
Yeah, I'm just saying a little bit of credit to Boy Genius.
I respect the hate.
Yeah. All right. What's next?
What is next?
We've been going a little bit out of order, so yeah, Rocco, feel free to pick the next topic.
Let me find the rundown. Sorry. This is more going back to the last couple games, but we've talked about throughout the year the defensive group. At the beginning, it was the goaltending. Now it seems to be more of the forwards. A bunch of guys going cold. Drouin, obviously, Exhibit A. I mean, you got Butch Goring talking about him having a hole in his stick mid-broadcast tonight. Shabanov hasn't been great. A couple other guys have just really been passengers. Do you guys is this forward group what – is the forward group what is going to be what brings this team down if they don't make the postseason? Like, are you truly worried about it, or do you think they could hold on with this group?
I'm very worried.
Go ahead, Jack.
I think that they've hit such a wall recently that they're due to get some bounces the other way. Like, there's been stretches this season where, like, I would say 80 to 90% of the NHL that went through these stretches of not scoring more than two goals, that's where they fall apart. The fact that they didn't completely collapse during that entire period of time, like, I think that they're due to wake up a little bit. It's kind of crazy because when you really look at the goals for this season, they are, I want to say, in the bottom 10, maybe bottom 7, and they've had like two or three games where they've put up 9 goals in a game. They've put up 7. Like, you subtract those two games, like, they are the lowest scoring team in the entire league. So it's definitely a concern. You just have to hope it goes the other way. There's really
in terms of the Metro, the Islanders have 150 goals for. I don't know if that includes tonight. Penguins have 169. The Hurricanes have 180. The Flyers at 154. Capitals have 170. The Devils and the Rangers are the only two in the Metro with fewer goals for.
I mean, we know what our bread and butter is this season. It's Sorokin outgoalieing the other goalie just about every game.
100%. I mean, my biggest fear. Yeah, my biggest fear with this offense, and this is gonna, I hope this doesn't sound like sort of a cop out, but what's the identity? Like, they don't have any, like, besides Horvat and like a month of Heinemann, like, they don't have like a bunch of dudes who are absolutely ripping the puck. They don't have anyone that's just dangling through entire defensive groups. They don't have anyone at this point, literally anyone on the offensive side of the puck that can play with snarl. I mean, you guys saw, I don't even know if it was a power play. It might have been a power play. Anders Lee, net front, got knocked over twice. He's washed. Hang him up, Grandpa. So, like, what is the identity of this forward group? Like, if this team's entire identity is going to be, we have a sick goaltender and Adam Pellick is playing Norris-level defense, okay, cool. Like, we got Schaefer. Like, that sounds fucking crazy, but right now it's the fact that they have Sorokin, Schaefer, Pellick, and like they'll try to figure it out game by game on offense.
Yeah,
like, and like I don't think that this is you can't rectify this at the trade deadline unless you're going out there and trading for like multiple studs
or one guy that's just an absolute stud and everyone comes down a rung on the ladder. Because I mean, if you like just going through the lines tonight, when you look at them, it's just been hasn't been good enough from so many names. First line: Shabanov, Horvat, Heinemann. Neither way. We know we love Heinemann on this pod, but it's gone cold. Second line: Duclair, Barzal, Holmstrom. Holmstrom didn't end up playing, so
you're getting production out of those three. Actually, that's pretty much it.
Those three, and then the setup third line at practice. This is before Holmstrom was scratched. Lee, Pageau, Drouin.
Disgusting.
That whole line has been nothing, and then the fourth line: McLean, Cizikas, Gatcombe. Fourth line, I think Gatcombe plays the most consistent game out of those guys. The rest, the other two are kind of just meh. And then Richie and Siplikov are the other forwards. Siplikov's been a ghost the whole year. I actually think Richie's playing really well. When I first heard the news of him not playing, I was upset. But then I think it dropped that he's day-to-day with some sort of injury. So that made it make more sense. I definitely don't think the kid is deserving of a health bomb, that's for sure, within this forward group. But that being said, this forward group is the exact reason I fear going in and buying at the deadline, because I just don't like, you could say, well, if you add, it helps that forward group so much. But again, I really don't think, unless you're getting a Kyrou, at least a Kyrou level player. I don't see the forward group being that good.
We thought go out there and get EPM Panarin.
That's a little. This is like NHL 26 now.
Yeah, you should have heard him last time.
Yeah, Jackie mode. Heard the theory.
Yeah, we were playing franchise mode last time, but
just a little bit.
I think it's going to really come up to days before what gets decided for this team, and I just lean to standing mostly pat. The add of another defenseman was really necessary. The add of another forward is what you're saying. Like, that's the real signal if this team is a buyer, but they don't look like a seller at this current present moment. I just don't know. Like, do you think they're one scorer away from the offense being fixed?
No.
They never have scored. That's been their issue, I feel like, my whole life. They never have the scoring touch. They maybe have one guy. They don't have the guy to go with it.
Like, it's tough.
A couple years back, when we were kind of talking about potentially getting a guy like DeBrincat, I was so excited because I feel like we've needed that sort of player for so long. Albeit flawed, like, he's not the best two-way player or whatever else, but they need guys like that. Guys like Yzerman in the prospect pool excite me because they need guys like that. They never have enough of them, and they're hard to come by. So when you get them, you hope to keep them, obviously, but it just feels like when we have one, we're constantly looking for the second.
Getting a high-end goal scorer does a lot for even the players in the current lineup. Like, Jonathan Drouin's never been a goal scorer, but he's always been a good facilitator, and getting him someone else to shoot the puck and actually convert chances, that could be pretty massive for his game too. So it could unlock more than we think, but it's still just like a risk to send like a first round pick if you don't know you're a playoff lock. When they were in second place and had like a 9-point lead on the line, I want to say a couple weeks ago, it was definitely more of something I could buy into. But right now, I think we just got to see how it plays out a little bit. I wouldn't really blame them if they didn't go all in on a guy like Stamkos. I'm not blaming them for that, but we'll see. It would be absolutely crazy
if Darsh got nuts and the Islanders didn't have a first, second, or third round pick.
I don't know.
Two first. You can't. Maybe you dangle one. You cannot dangle for it. Dangle one.
I'm
not really looking to unlock Jonathan Drouin. Like, I'm okay not unlocking this man. I would keep him
locked up.
Yeah, like, I'm keeping the darts to unlock prime Cal Ritchie, not Jonathan Drouin.
Let's just like think about it like this though. I don't know if I want Darsh going nuts if he's trading a third for Soucy. Like, if you really look at, I like Darsh, but let's recap this for a second. The first move he really made was he extended Romanov for 8 years. His free agency signings are.
Hold on, can we just take a timeout real quick? Because you just prefaced this entire thing by saying, I like Matthew Darsh, and now you're going to list out, like, some absolutely egregious hockey moves. Continue. I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, no, because I like him. I don't dislike him. It's fine. He's just made a couple, you know,
I'm neutral on the guy. He's just done a ton of bad things. Go on.
Exactly. At least they're short-term, but we have Heinemann, we have Drouin, who else do we got? Shabanov. David Riddick.
Shabanov.
Romanov. Shabanov.
So two first from the Dobson deal.
I like the idea of trying to improve the wingers when you lost Nelson, trying to make life a little bit easier for all of the centers, but it hasn't really worked out all that much. It was for the first half of the season, but like, reason I say I'm fine with him is because I think he deserves time, and that's that. But I feel like there's been – I've heard his name in the sentence with the Jim Gregory Award. So that's why it's just like, we got to give this guy time. Like, anointing him a great general manager and he's doing a great job. It's just bullshit.
I'll be honest. I haven't heard those talks.
I haven't either.
But those that the you know who should win the Jim Gregory?
Colorado's guy.
Ilya Sorokin.
Exactly.
Who's Colorado's GM now? Sakic's the president, I think. Is it like McFarland or something?
Yeah.
McFarland, yeah. He's going to win it. I mean, they're too good. You can't not give it to him.
So I just feel like we got to give this guy more time before deciding if he's a great – like, you know, like people tell me, like, oh, Darsh is a builder. Like, let's just give it a little bit of time before we start, like, calling him all of these things. Like, he's in his first year as a GM. He's not going out on the ice every night, so I don't really understand, like, the whole love affair. Not saying to hate the guy, but I just don't understand that.
I keep saying it. We just got to wait and give him a little time and then judge him. I know Ethan likes to judge a little earlier than most, but for at least for me.
I mean, is it unfair to judge as we go?
It's fair to judge as we go, but okay. you go a little extra.
Time for questions?
Sure. Questions submitted by our Patreon subscribers via our Discord, patreon.com/IslesHouse. No skipping questions, Jack. I mean, you screen them in real time. Don't read anything egregious, but, you know.
Okay, so January 26th, 2026. T. Isaac 39, up first. Ethan, which snowblower did you get? I'm thinking it may be time to invest in one.
This is a great question. This may be the best question we get all podcast.
Answer quickly already. He just said, "Look,
fine." We can probably honestly just not read any more questions after this one. I got a Craftsman. I think it's six speed, 26 inch, with a 208 cc engine. My driveway has never been cleaner after this kind of snowfall. I feel even after just one storm, you can put me in the pantheon with Mike Francesa in terms of snowblower guys. I mean, I'm a real blower at this point. There's no one else here is a real blower. Jack's out in sunny California and Rocco's shoveling like a schlub. So
you've had a blower for a day. Relax yourself.
Of course. I'm a real listen, if you're paying attention to the weather reports, we might get another big one next weekend.
Yeah, you know what?
And I'm going to be blowing.
Far from Ethan, and I never got when he was originally getting the snowblower. Can I borrow your truck? I need help picking it up. Whatever else.
I told you. Go up.
And the guy dropped it off.
No. My neighbor took me.
My house and
my neighbor took me, and I told you, you swing by with the truck, you could borrow it. But
you never
need a trailer. So
you don't need a trailer.
It's like it's heavy. Like you're gonna have to lift it up.
Yeah, you and I could lift it up into the bed of my truck, and I could.
Okay. Just come on by.
Yeah.
It's yours next week if you want it.
Yeah, we'll see.
If you want, you could become a real blower like me.
All right, Jack. Next question.
March. How many? March. This is a quick question, Ethan. March. How many inches did Ethan blow yesterday?
I blew about 14 inches.
I'm Dan the Man. Any specials for Super Bowl Sunday?
Yes. Any pre-orders, 10% off. So hit me up in the DMs. If you're on our Discord, DM me. You want to put in an order. All orders, 10% off. And obviously, a little extra if you're in the Patreon. All Patreon subscribers get that little 10% off to begin with. So anyone in the Patreon that wants to put in an order will get a little extra on top, obviously.
I don't think that was the question, but that was a good plug.
It was Mr. Three. Mr.
Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Read the question again.
I'm Dan the Man or from Mr. 305?
Yeah, I'm Dan the Man. What was his question?
Any specials for Super Bowl Sunday?
Oh, see, yeah, that's just, you know what, Rocco, you probably got it right. My degenerate brain just goes to like prop bets.
I was wondering, I'm like, what are you, I mean, Dan's a frequent customer, so I just, maybe I'm wrong. I'm sorry if I took that on and it wasn't the.
No, I think that
was it. I think I'm probably wrong. But Dan's probably listening. If Dan can pop in chat anytime, Discord or in here and you know.
Next question.
Mr. 305, when is the Isles House meetup going down?
Can I answer this one, Ethan, or do I have to wait for something else?
Oh, hold on. Dan said we're both right.
We're both right. All right. So if you guys have any prop bets you're going to hop on, just say a quick any prop.
We'll circle back. Well, I don't know. I don't know what the New York books are allowing, but I could tell the story the time that my barber, like years ago, her like best friend was like a producer for the Super Bowl and like a week prior knew the anthem timing.
Just outing this guy, insider trading.
Yeah, who cares? Okay. And so he, you know, obviously, like, we figured it out, and, like, Jack knows, like, you know, I hit it on, like, a Paperhead site, you know, one of those, like, bookie platforms, and I hit, and it was, like, a low, it was, like, a quick anthem. I hit the total, the alt under, like, everything, I had screenshots of everything. The fucking guy deleted all my bets. I checked after the anthem. They're all gone. He's just like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. And I sent him the screenshots. I'm like, I will fucking kill you. But anyway.
Wasn't expecting it to go there, but it went there, I guess. So
yeah.
Good story.
But when is the Isles House meetup? Mr. 305 is wondering.
Can I answer, Ethan?
Oh, yes.
Okay, thank you. Working on it. Got to get a couple new TVs.
I got to get home from LA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was actually thinking, because it might be ready. Maybe we could have like a little Olympic kickoff. I was thinking like watch a USA game. That would be kind of,
that'd be fun,
you know, or we could even do, I don't know. We'll definitely talk about it within the Discord and set something up. I'll feel out when everyone's available. I know it's tough too, because the thing with setting up a meetup, like if we want to do a watch party, it's basically got to be an away game, got to be a weekend. So you really have to like find the right date, but I'm definitely going to work on that. Isles one will be post Olympics for sure. And then maybe we'll get like a mini one just to get things kickstarted during the Olympics.
All right.
I think skip LI- that, Jack.
What?
Skip that one.
Yep.
I'm reading them a little before you, just the screen.
Thomas Boyle is wondering, when is Patrick Waugh getting fired?
Not anytime soon.
If they miss the playoffs this season, I think he will be fired. But right now,
do you really though? Do you like, yeah, based 100%. On expectations, you really think he'll get fired?
Yeah, when you have when you're 10 games over 500, sitting at second place halfway through the season, and to miss the playoffs entirely with a Calder and Vezina betting favorite, you're not doing your job at a high enough level. There's too many advantages he has. That's my answer if they miss the playoffs. But I will be easy on him like tonight and over the last week or so. With Horvat injured, it's really hard to find a way for them to score goals. Something that is crazy, I was trying to look up like what the most successful line combinations are for this Islanders team. And most lines in the NHL at this point in the season have like, you know, 150 minutes played together, 200 minutes in some cases. Do you guys know the line that has played the most time together this season and actually been their best expected goals analytical line? It's unbelievable.
No.
Don't tell me the fourth.
It's the fourth line.
That's the only one that's stuck, really.
Yeah, so he loves going to that line. They started the game tonight, and that's been his most consistent combo all season. But the constant juggling, the constant mixing hasn't looked great. But you know, teams still winning and they're in playoff position. So definitely not right now.
Ethan, if they miss the playoffs, you think Waugh's gone?
No.
Yeah. I think you still got to go back to, maybe it's not fair, but I think you still got to go back to expectations and where this team was at and how many young players they have. So I think basically no matter what, at this point, he gets at least the beginning of next year. I don't see him going anywhere.
So next question is from Dom. Do you think Waugh prefers Drouin trying his ass off and not producing, or Duclair taking every other shift off but still producing?
It's a results business.
Yeah, he's an expected by whom's guy. All he cares about are the goals and the points. I think he's liking Duclair, but he has Drouin's back more than anyone.
Yes, I agree with that.
Next question is Stephen B9. Does this team suck, or do you think they can make the playoffs still?
They can make it.
Both.
Yeah, it's the mid-tro.
They suck, but they could still make the playoffs.
The last episode was called the Mid-tro division or whatever, right?
Yeah.
It's just where you're like, if we were in the Central, probably not even talking about this. If we're in the Atlantic, probably not even talking about this, but we're in the mid-tro. So it's just luck of the draw sometimes, so they will make it.
We've gotten so used to life with this team without Horvat because he's missed a decent amount of time. I think that we're letting it get to us a little bit. I don't think they suck.
They're mediocre.
This team sucks.
Ethan, you know what the Metro remind? This is maybe a little old for you, Jack, but remember when the NFC West used to just always stink, and it was just like every year a 7-9 division and gets in? Like, that's the Metro division this year, like the early 2000s NFC West.
Yeah, but that was the Marshawn Lynch run.
No, that's the Seahawks were good by then. This is like the Hasselback Seahawks.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
Free Russ.
Next question's from David S., and it's for me. One, what is your honest opinion of Simon's season so far? Has your view of him changed? Yes, it actually has changed, and it actually has less to do with the goals he's scoring and more to do with how he is driving play. He's actually been much more creative setting up teammates to score, and I honestly, it's kind of sad, but I think his production went a little bit dry recently because they put Drouin as the other winger on the line with Pageau. I can think of five times Drouin could have scored and not one of them went into the net. No, I think that he's found a new level in his game. And it's really encouraging. And Ethan's pick for him to make 60 points one day, maybe not this season, but one day, I can buy it with how he's played recently. So my view of him has changed, but I still need to see him play like that for the rest of the season because he's famous for disappearing. I hope he doesn't go through one of those disappearing acts where it's a month without a point. Like, the team can't afford that, and that will take away from the bullishness. This is a two-parter. If Engvall was healthy, would you be putting him into this lineup? Will he be here next year with how certain guys have been? Well, I'm looking at the calendar, David, and it's still winter time. So right now it's questionable, but in a couple months, during the spring, I'm 100% getting him in this lineup. And, you know, I think that he could be better than Siplikov. I think that he could be better than Shabanov.
I think before, he should look at rentals in Hamilton, Ontario.
Maybe, but I think I would put him into this lineup. He's got speed. Wah loves a good skater, even though he hates Engvall. I don't know, but I would put him in. I think that he will be on the team next year by default. Doesn't seem like Darsh is ever in a rush to trade any of these forwards.
So wait, isn't he – he's not declared out for the year? Like, he could come back? What was the diagnosis there? I thought he was out for the year.
He's on LTIR. But I think they could take him off.
Yeah, but didn't they say he's going to be out? I thought they announced that.
Yeah, I don't think that his injury timetable quite matched, actually, with being out for the entire season.
What ankle surgery?
It was ankle surgery, I believe. And I think that if they really wanted to get Engvall out there this season, they can in late March, early April. Could be wrong on that, though.
Yeah,
don't quote me.
I could be wrong too. I thought they kind of declared it right at the beginning of the season, like he's out for the year. But
they did. But like, it's not like a Palmieri situation. I think where he can, if they really wanted him to come back, I think they could. Next question, Mr. 305, are you fellas stoked about Carson Soucy? Eh. It's like the carrot cake for dessert. Like, I'm happy that.
Good line, Jack.
I'm happy we're getting something, and I think it's really important intangibly for the rest of the team. For the actual player, I'll give him a chance. I'll get behind it, but definitely a little skeptical. Josh Elkin, is Soucy a one-off soft buy because of a glaring need, or is this the beginning of more moves, both buy and sell? One thing I want to mention, a third-round draft pick to me isn't a soft buy. Do you guys agree? That's a buy.
It's pretty soft. I mean, this is carrot cake after all.
It's a half chub buy.
Yeah, it's like, it's not
soft. A hard buy. It's not a soft buy.
It's not like a Yarmo buy. Like, it's not Yarmageddon, I'll tell you that. But it's,
yeah.
I don't know. It's not, yeah, it's still soft. A little soft.
Half chub Soucy.
But what do you guys think about Josh's question? I mean, I think
answer to that now. We know the answer.
More buys?
Matthew Darsh is drinking his coffee. He is no longer Sleepy Darsh. He's working the phones.
So they got Soucy coming in. He'll probably play the next game. say they go maybe and get someone else. Is there still a world where they get these players and then perhaps if things aren't going great close to the deadline, do they sell off Lee and Peugeot? Or do you guys think Lee and Peugeot are clean off the table at this point?
I mean, dude, what if they – I mean, I had this thought earlier. They give up a third for Susie. What if he plays well but the team is absolutely ass? Like,
then you flip him?
Yeah.
That's – I mean, I said that right when we were discussing it in the Insiders channel. I'm like, flip. Like, you could always – I mean, you could – that's maybe the backup plan. It's not a good backup plan because guys could obviously get hurt. And then
low-key, it's the benefit of the Olympic break.
Right. So maybe that's Darsh's thinking. I'll get him now, and then when Pulak and whoever else and we're totally healthy, you could – worst case, you definitely can flip. I mean, I don't think you're going to get worse than a third. He went for a third last year. You just gave up for a third. So I guess that's the worst case on Susie.
Yeah.
I mean, again, do you guys think Peugeot and Lee are off the table, though? That's the big question. That's what Josh is alluding to.
Right now, yes, but time will tell.
No, okay. I don't think they are. It's not like a wink, wink either. That's just, you know.
Yeah, I think it could be Darsh soft buying to make it a little easier to offload those guys or potentially one of those guys when you are still in a playoff spot. Like, say you have Susie and you add another forward and then trade Peugeot, like, the team and the fans that really want to win this year could be a little more accepting of that, I guess. It could be him hedging a bit as well.
Yeah.
So the next question is from Lyle. If you had to choose one to play the rest of the season at LD3, who would you choose? Warren, McWard, Mitchell, George, Romanov, Boquist, Susie.
What a list.
Warren.
I mean, if this might sound crazy, but if fully healthy, I might actually go Romanov just because I think it might be better than it was. I'd go George, I think.
Give me George.
I thought he was pretty good tonight.
Yeah, he's just getting his feet wet too. I'm a big fan of him and I think he'll continue to thrive. I just hope they do not take him out and have him on a short leash because
I need Dom to pop in here and defend the Warren pick.
Yeah, I like
Warren's fine, but I just like you could only pick one.
I get the love for Warren, but when I watch him play, I do not see a player that is ready to defend at an NHL level. I see a player that can move the puck and, you know, put himself in good spots offensively, but I'm just not buying it defensively. I trust George more than him so far.
Next.
Yeah, I think I have George a tiny bit higher than him.
Scuds, why does Wah only hold Barzal, Duclair, and Richie accountable? It's because Wah kind of toes this line of, am I going to really cross it? And with Anders Lee and with certain leaders and players on this team, he's not going to cross the line. He had no problem scratching Mayfield, but Ryan Pulak gets an A. He's very selective about which players he's actually going to press box, to talk about in the press conference. Jonathan Drouin can do no wrong. Anthony Duclair, it's time to go home. It's just certain guys he's not going to do it to, certain guys he will. I completely agree that it's pretty selective. Doing it to Barzal is ridiculous, though. You have him playing 22 minutes a night. That's a career high. And he basically had to carry your entire offense for the last month with Horvat hurt. Although he gets criticism, he still produces. Doing that on home ice too, only down two goals, I didn't love that.
Yeah, but I mean, Barzal did respond tonight. So I do think, although it's tough in the moment at times, to the same token, Wah does push the right buttons, at least this season. Like, I don't think what he did with Duclair last year was right, but he health-bombed Duclair a couple times this year, comes back, now he's hot. Benched Barzal the end of last game. I thought Barzal played a very good game tonight. So I think – when you're a coach and you're in charge of like a large group of people, you kind of know who you can and can't do it to. And I think with someone like Barzal, he knows he could light a fire under his ass. He knows Duclair well from juniors and wherever they met each other. But Duclair has been playing well after the health bomb. So I do understand where some fans get frustrated because it does feel like he picks on certain guys. I do think it's because he knows he could light a fire under their ass, where maybe he feels like with Drouin, if he was to health bomb him, Drouin would kind of be down in the dumps or just not respond to it well. So that's just my theory. It's just how guys respond.
Find it ironic that maybe Drouin is too soft, yet Duclair, who left for mental health reasons, is carrying the offense right now. But what do I know?
I'm not saying he's too soft. I'm just
saying. No, I know you're not. You're hypothesizing. I get it.
Yeah. Pushing. He's just pushing the right buttons.
Bro, I'm sorry. I'm just like, I'm watching this replay of the puck just going through Drouin's stick. Like, it's actually unbelievable. Like, this is shit that, like, happens to you in, like, peewee hockey.
Yeah.
And your coach is, like, screaming at you, stick on the ice, stick on the ice.
It's just, yeah, he just can't. He just needs to get, he so badly just needs to get the one. And I really think he'll be fine once he gets the one. Like,
I disagree.
Not that he's going to be a great player, but it won't be this bad. Like, score every couple of games at least. Well, how long has it been since he scored? Jack, you got the numbers. How long has it been?
With his stick. 49 seconds ago, transaction. The New York Islanders have acquired Carson Soucy in exchange for a third-round pick in the 2026 NHL draft. So the Islanders just confirmed the trade. Thank you, Joe, who alerted us in the chat here. So it is official. Not that Emily Kaplan is not, but.
It has been 73 days since Jonathan Drouin scored a goal. It has been 79 days since Jonathan Drouin scored a goal with a hockey stick. It's been 2 hours since Butch Goring asked if there was a hole in his hockey stick. It's been ugly.
Jack, how don't you have a meme yet of, like, the Titanic scene? Like, it's been 84 years. Like, that's got to happen. What's going
it does.
On? I'll help you out with it later.
I might need some help with that. Yeah. It's just I'll like
brought up for you.
It's ridiculous, man. I've never seen anything like it. I'm not sure I could read the next question or the one after that. We're going to skip to the
Brock. Oh, you screen them and give final approval. Hold on. Yeah. Hold See, this is why I love the Discord. Cause like the YouTube chat,
it was just a little back and forth.
Oh, I think you missed that.
No, I got him. I'm sorry. We can't read that out loud.
This is why I love having the
Kevin, love you.
The Discord. I don't
want to move that either. Bryman, three quarter. Let's go, Jack.
There it is. One, I'm souring on Wah. Anyone else? I think we kind of all covered that. I think that I love that.
You're souring more than the elders.
Yeah, no, I think that I've always felt this way about him, and you two are more patient than myself.
Respect your elders, Jack.
Yeah. I'm respecting him. I'm not calling for the guy's head, but, you know. Two, how can we take this team seriously on accountability or playing the best guys when McLean and Boqvist are out there? Can we give some kids in Bridgeport a chance?
None of our top guys are in Bridgeport. I think that's the issue.
It's they all – like, Bridgeport stinks.
Yeah, like these are – I don't want to take – it's not a shot at anyone specific, but I think most of the guys that are currently in Bridgeport – are just simply Bridgeport / Hamilton guys. That's kind of where they belong.
I mean, I'll take a shot at Bridgeport guys. Maggio and Jeffries are not NHLers.
So hopefully, I mean, I expect Eklund in North America next year, and then maybe Yzerman. Like, next year is when we'll have guys that we hope to be difference makers that'll actually be playing down there. Maybe Aitchison, maybe guys like Prokhorov, like these sort of players will hopefully be down there next year. And we'll be, when the team's not playing well, we'll be looking for these sort of guys to be called up. With the current guys down there, it's just like, if they weren't called up last year with the way the offense was playing, that there's a reason they're not coming up this year too.
I mean, if they got decimated with bottom six injuries, I wouldn't mind giving Beckman a run, but that's kind of it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's like a couple of okay guys that could get a cup of coffee type thing. I don't think there's anyone down there that's truly going to stick up here.
Well, we have another question. We have a three-parter. What's the next move we see after Soucy? I would have said trade Pageau since Richie has stepped into that role, but he sat him. Okay, well, the Bryman was angry because he thought it was a healthy scratch, but we found out later that he has a day-to-day injury. Are we buying that?
Yeah, I mean, he might have been a little banged up.
Only reason I asked is because Wah said that if Holmstrom wasn't going to play, it was a game time decision between Siplikov and Richie. So maybe looking into it too much.
It could be something like, you know, he's a young player. He's a rookie. He's never played this many games in a season. It could just be something based around that. I don't think it's because of Richie's play per se. I think he's either banged up or they're maybe trying to have him on a little bit of a pitch count because the amount of games he's been playing. And it's a, you got to keep in mind, it's a condensed schedule because the Olympics too. So these guys like Schaefer and Richie that are playing extra games this year, it's even more intense than it would usually be.
L.I. Isle slash Mets 94. So when are we trading for McDavid? Whenever you hop on franchise mode with Ethan. A Lupo 8897. Isles have 6 games left before the break. What record do you think they need to stay in the playoff race? Well, now they have 5. Winning that one was pretty big. So to stay in the race, stay in the race. If you're just going that way, they need to go. They need to lose less than 3 games in regulation.
4-2.
3-2-1, 4-2, ideally.
You have to, honestly, for me, Rangers are atrocious right now. You gotta beat them both times.
Agreed.
Like I know it's a rivalry game. I know anything happens in those sort of games. I feel like usually the better team is the one that doesn't win the Islanders-Rangers rivalry. I could be very wrong on that, but I feel like usually the worst team gets the best of that. But the Rangers are just so bad this year. I don't even know the guy's name that's starting in goal. They just traded us, one of their defensemen. Like, you got to take both games from the Rangers. And then, honestly, probably 2 against the Rangers and the 1 against Nashville, it's got to, at minimum, be 2 out of 3. At minimum.
Agreed.
The Bryman again. What has Boqvist got on Wah that he keeps playing over Warren and others? Ironically, I just read a comment here in our comments section from James. I can't pull it up, but it says, Stefan Rosner said Boqvist talked to Wah and his agent to Darsh about playing. Who the hell does he think he is what he said. But I don't know. That could be it. Maybe he had a conversation and was like, can you guys give me a chance? I've been sitting here all season.
Maybe that's why Darsh acquired Soucy. When Boqvist's like, why aren't I playing? He's like, I just traded a third for Soucy.
Yeah.
So next,
just quick question on Boqvist. Could he be sent down? No, he would have to go through waivers, right?
He can't.
That's the reason.
Muffin, with the lack of scoring, do you sense that they'll give Yzerman a try for a couple games when the BU season is over? If not Yzerman, anyone in the AHL?
No.
I'd be very surprised if Yzerman plays an NHL game this year, and I don't see anyone in the AHL either. Like we said before, the top end prospects that are going to help us is still a couple years away.
What would you, Sam says, is it fair to assume the majority of us would like a hybrid deadline? Already got the cheap rental D-man, strike on something if the opportunity is there while selling off Pageau and/or Anders Lee.
I mean, I'd like that, but I don't really expect that. Like, I kind of think he's going to pick a path.
Me too.
Can I say something, kind of a callback to a few episodes ago?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Wasn't Rick Bones in Vancouver like a few days early?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. No. Was he? Oh, yeah. He was scouting that game, right?
I think so.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was at that game.
I just have a feeling. I just do. Evander Kane. I'm getting that feeling.
Yeah, I could see that.
They're trying to trade him though really soon because they don't want to pay his base salary, I read.
That's every team though. Like, if a GM could sell a guy 2 weeks earlier, of course he's going to.
Ryan Bones.
The son, yeah.
Dom's losing his fucking mind in chat because I called him the wrong R name.
Did you say Rick?
Yeah.
Rick's the dad. Yeah.
Rick Bonus.
Yeah. But what was I saying? I lost my train of thought. What was I saying? Just go on. I don't know. I forgot.
It happens. We're through a lot of questions. Chris G, how has Tony D changed y'all's lives?
Bro, Tony's been so good.
He's been so good.
What a shot today, too.
Great shot. Is he still half point per game since joining?
Probably. And by the way, did MSG show you guys what he did after the goal?
No. Well, chirping. I wasn't paying attention. What did he do?
He was chirping the Flyers bench after the third goal. He skated by them, gave them a nice like stare down.
No taunting in the NHL, so I like that. I was having a fit when the guy in the Seahawks did it last night, but No penalty in hockey, so whatever.
It was awesome. This is his first complete year today of being an Islander, and he has been a hell of an ad from the start. So good for him. I hope he keeps it up. Hackley 44. Are we thinking Darsh is making some micro moves real quick before the break to take advantage of a division heavy schedule? If they perform well here, does he double down and buy large? Opposite side, if they sink a bit, will that finally convince Darsh to sell Lear Pageau? So Hackley's basically wondering how important are these next few games in deciphering the deadline?
I mean, they're not going to – the thing is, like, we keep saying wait to the deadline, wait to the deadline, wait to the deadline. I don't really think their position is going to be too different come the deadline, right? Like, they'll either be right in this Metro spot or a point or two out. So, I mean, I guess it's big, but I just don't see him buying – like, I don't see the buy large path this year. I know that was one of the first things he asked. Buy large, I don't see. As far as Pageau and Lee – again, it's hard to know what this guy's thinking, but maybe. Like, I don't know. I still have a weird feeling we might deal Pageau. That's just been my gut the whole time. Maybe it's because it's what I want.
Oh, here we go. From Rick Dollywall. Evander Kane's agent, Dan Milstein, has been given permission to help facilitate a trade for his client.
There you go. So that's going to be dirt cheap, too.
Dirt cheap.
Especially when you let the player facilitate, it's like literally go for future consideration.
Yes.
I think he has a big contract too. So it's
no,
not
it's like five. It's like a year left at five.
For him, five is a lot. It's not, this is like a fourth line player.
He's not he's like, you know, middle six guy.
He's a bottom six.
Who are we talking about?
Evander Kane.
He for us, he's a top six forward.
I mean, you play him on a certain line, sure. But honestly, if you get Soucy and Kane, the one part I like about that duo coming in, you just feel like guys aren't really going to fuck with Schaefer at all. Like, they're still going to try to do it, but at least you have a little extra protection back there. I know we talked about we didn't at the beginning of the season. We don't want a goon. But, you know, I don't know if Soucy could even throw him, but he's finally a big body.
And Evander Kane would be – tied for fifth amongst Islanders in points.
Well, not saying.
And he's not a giant pussy.
I'm with him. I want Evander.
I'm getting him because I just, again, I want the grit. I want the physicality. I want the guy. Like, bring Evander Kane here literally just as the guy that could play solid hockey. And if we need someone to fight, you're fight. Like, you are the guy that has to fight. Like, if there's someone that goes after Schaefer, the next shift you're on the ice, you're fighting someone. Like, automatic, don't want to hear it. You're the guy that's fighting for us. And I think he'd be fine with that. I really do.
I mean,
going forward in the league.
Our leading hits guy on the team got obliterated by a ref.
Who's our leading hits guy?
Heinem.
Oh, my boy. Yeah, well.
At least he was. I don't know how recent, but.
He also got hit by a car, so the man is tough. But.
Yeah, he's tough, but he's getting obliterated.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't need to be. He's not like the guy you want as your main force. I like the idea, Kane. I think it would work.
Following that up, I might have exited.
Push is the next.
I exited.
You got it. You want me to do it?
Yeah, read it.
Nick Costa, if you were to name a cocktail after a current Islander, what are you naming that cocktail? Really putting us on the spot. I mean.
Oh, man.
I mean, Siplikov is just the White Russian. I just don't need to ever have it again. You know, just get rid of this fucking guy. Can we get a creative name quickly? Who could we... I don't know.
You come up with the stupidest shit.
How about Pollock Punch?
Not bad.
And it's just a glass of Everclear, and then you throw it at the wall.
What about instead of Jungle Juice, Jungle Seuss for Seuss?
Ooh, that's good.
There you go.
That's good, yeah.
Jungle Seuss is good.
Jungle Seuss. We'll make it at the watch party.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna need to pull some Patreon funds to pay for the Ubers home if we're doing the Jungle Seuss.
Jungle Seuss TBD. All right. Let me see. Sorry, there's like a bunch of answers to. Guys, please stop answering podcast questions yourself. It makes it hard to read these. McNally, is it possible the Islanders can realistically get Yzerman or Danny Nelson on this roster once the NCAA season ends? I feel like they could give you a better offense than the entire bottom six. Nelson is a center, so that would mean someone getting shipped out. Thoughts?
I don't know enough about the prospect pool in terms of the day-to-day to really give like an honest answer. I feel like this is best suited for you guys.
They're not ready, to be quite honest. Like,
I mean, are we getting any black aces or no?
I mean, this is a big year to try and sign Danny Nelson because he'll be going – he's a junior right now, and then he would be going into his senior year. And if he goes back for his senior year, he could then become a free agent after said senior year.
What about Quinn Finley?
Quinn Finley and Danny Nelson, the guys – same situation. They're both going to be seniors. So you kind of need to sign both of those players. I like both of those players. I think they're solid prospects. I do not think either of these players should play an NHL game barring emergency this season. Like, yeah. I could see Danny Nelson being a 3C down the road. I could see maybe if things shake out right, Finley being a complimentary winger. I just like we say they're better than our bottom six, but then if we saw them for like play a couple minutes in the league, they probably wouldn't be better than our bottom six. So no. They're just not ready yet. That's a next year question for those players. And Yzerman as well, again, I said it before, I don't see him getting an NHL game. So, no, the college guys, I don't see it. It's not like a Ryan Leonard situation. But last question. Thank you, everyone, for submitting. Ton of good questions today. Joe727, following up on D'Angelo, what does his next contract look like? And is it here? I'll add to his.
I hope it is.
If you could, I'm trying to think. It depends, too, like, if we could add someone on that right side. Like, we're so – that's the thing. Like, people won't want to re-sign Tony, but we're so slim on that right side. Like, we literally – I don't know one right-handed prospect we even have. They're
give
all
them, give them, a 2-year, $3 million.
Yeah, I mean, preferably a one. One would be perfect. But, like, the Islanders really have to start drafting these right-handed defensemen because we have nothing. And, I mean, there are a couple UFAs, but you got to sign them, right? So – unless there's someone that's like totally knock your socks off, great free agent pull, I think you could bring Tony back. 2x3 sounds fair.
As long as Pellick's here, D'Angelo being here, more than welcome because it's a well balanced unit. And as long as they're together, he's going to be a good player for the Islanders. And it's pretty crazy. He might have found himself a home here.
Yep.
Okay. We good?
Yep, that was the last good. One.
All right. Thank you all for listening. Follow us on Twitter, subscribe to the podcast, and make sure to check out the Patreon. Talk to you guys soon.
Father West is Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around. Ayo's house, in the middle of our street. Ayo's house.